Mini-episode 1844 of the FTH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FTH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 1844 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with our preview of the biggest pro wrestling show of the year, AEW All In Texas. Of course, WrestleMania 41 was on a bigger scale, but that one is branded as sports entertainment. Here's our top 5 notes of interest about the stadium show from Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas, on Saturday, July 12th at 3 p.m. Eastern on pay-per-view. Number 5. It's the latest incarnation of one of the most unique events in pro wrestling history. Back in the dark days of 2018, when WWE Creative was at rock bottom and there were no pro wrestling promotions on a large scale in the U.S., the group of pro wrestlers known as the Elite, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega, promoted All In 2018 to win a bet with legendary pro wrestling journalist Dave Meltzer that they could top 10,000 in ticket sales with an independent event. All In not only did that, but it served as proof of concept to billionaire pro wrestling fan Tony Khan, who months later signed these wrestlers as part of the core of All Elite Wrestling, which launched in 2019. The rights to All In were owned by Ring of Honor Wrestling, which the Elite left behind when they signed with AEW, so the biggest shows of the first few years of AEW went under the banner of All Out. And then, in 2023, after his purchase of ROH, Tony Khan announced the return of All In, which was promoted as a gigantic outdoor show at Wembley Stadium in 2023 and 2024. This year it comes to the Metroplex area, which is best known in wrestling lore as the home of the legendary Von Erichs of the 1980s. Number 4. It's definitely the centerpiece of the AEW year in a way that WrestleMania centers the WWE calendar. The main event is the culmination of the Death Riders storyline dating back to last fall, when Jon Moxley and what had been the Blackpool Combat Club took a darker turn, staging a takeover attempt of the company to oppose what they considered to be a wave of complacency. Frankly, although it's had more grotesque moments of shock than most modern storylines, it's still underachieved as a strong focal point for the company, frequently serving as the weakest part of pay-per-views since its inception. However, it has regained a bit of steam in recent months as the Riders aligned with company executive vice presidents the Young Bucks, and fans have been a little bit more forgiving with the finish line in sight. The finals of the men's Owen Hart Cup between Hangman Adam Page and Will Ospreay were meant to signal that the company was sending in its biggest gun after Moxley, no matter who emerged on top in this battle of megastars. In the end, it was Page, who will reprise his brutal Texas deathmatch with Moxley from Revolution 2023 in order to win the AEW world title and free it from Moxley's briefcase, where it has lingered for some odd reason since last October. Number 3. We often say that the strength of a card can be measured in the quality and quantity of matches that could be plausible semi-main events, and All In over-delivers in that manner. There are 3 matches that would be worthy of the semi-main event designation, and 2 could even be called co-main events, a phrase that is admittedly thrown around too loosely, but obviously applies here. The first is a unification match for, fittingly, the new unified title between the Continental Champion Kazuchika Okada and the International Champion Kenny Omega. Back in the mid to late 2010s, Okada and Omega had a 4-match series in New Japan Pro Wrestling for their top title, the IWGP Championship that was regarded as one of the best ever, and that rivalry, along with the entire Bullet Club elite group in New Japan, created enough interest in North America that it was a bit of a precursor to the original All In, which again was a precursor to the creation of AEW. Everything comes full circle in this match with enormous pressure to live up to the old days and stakes to match. The second match is also champion versus champion, and although it's not title versus title, it's still on a short list of the biggest women's matches in history. AEW Women's World Champion Timeless Toni Storm is about 2 years into a character redefinition that has her channeling a film starlet from the black and white movie days, and this character is as big as anything we've seen outside of the man Becky Lynch and Becky's mid to late 2010s WWE rival, the boss Sasha Banks. Well, Ms. Banks, now more than 2 years into a redefinition as the CEO Mercedes Moné, holds the TBS title in AEW and is on a 14-month undefeated streak in the promotion, whilst also collecting other titles worldwide. Each woman has been built into a giant with their paths never crossing until Moné won the Women's Owen Hart Cup to become the challenger for the AEW World title at All In. These are two incredible characters and workers, and both have been built so strongly that there's almost a Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior vibe where it's hard to imagine either being booked to lose. The third match, which could be a plausible semi-main event match, if not co-main event match, is a clash of the Young Bucks, the most decorated team in AEW history, against an all-star combination of Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay, both of whom have been battling the Bucks/Death Riders combo. It's a rare negative stipulation on the match, with the winners gaining nothing except the satisfaction of really sticking it to the losers. If the Bucks lose, they forfeit their power as executive vice presidents of the promotion. If Swerve and Ospreay lose, they forfeit the rights to challenge for the AEW World title for the next calendar year, right in the prime of their careers. Some of the intrigue here will surround the fallout of the match and whether or not Tony Khan has booked himself into a corner, especially if Swerve and Ospreay lose. Number 2. Even once you get past the top of the card, there's fantastic intrigue and action attached to the other matches. Adam Cole defends his TNT title against one of the great up-and-coming, total package talented heels in the business, Kyle Fletcher. The Hurt Syndicate, who admittedly have been booked too strongly as invincible heels who don't sell at all, will defend their World Tag Team titles against two teams who might struggle against them individually but could steal the win and the titles from each other, Jet Speed and the Patriarchy. And the men and women will each have a casino gauntlet match in which wrestlers come out at different intervals as in a regular gauntlet match, but where the match will end whenever a pinfall is scored by anyone, which always ensures that not everyone eligible for the match makes it to the ring. Each of these two matches will award a world championship opportunity to the winner. For the men, the first two entrants are Mark Briscoe and MJF, which will ensure fireworks at the outset between two complete opposite characters and excellent workers. Look for rising megastar Darby Allin to make his return from his successful climb of Mount Everest in this match, alongside his legendary mentor Sting. Also, based on the tease on Dynamite, look for the Ops to defend their World Trios titles against former title holders the Death Riders with their special friend from New Japan, Gabe Kidd. Number 1. All In Texas has the chance to cap off a comeback for AEW that's been a while in coming. A promotion that debuted months before the pandemic, hung in there in excellent fashion during their residency in Jacksonville, and had a triumphant return to the road in mid-2021, started to feel some adversity in mid-2022 when their world champion was out of action not once but twice, forcing big changes, while the internal strife between backstage factions exploded into the open like the WWF exactly a quarter century earlier. Wrestlers and front office types have spoken of quote-unquote restoring the feeling for much of the past 2 years, which Aside from the all-in stadium shows and intriguing Continental Classic tournaments, haven't seen as much good news in terms of ratings, attendance, and overall fan interest. This is notwithstanding a TV renewal with Warner Media that puts the company on a firmer footing than ever. With unmatched in-ring talent and tremendous characters, the ingredients for a turnaround were there all along, and in 2025, it seems that fans have reacted better to tweaks in the storytelling. If Hangman Adam Page, regarded by many as the main character of AEW, can cap off his own tumultuous journey since 2022, both in and out of storyline, then fans can move forward into the next year of AEW programming with as much confidence as they felt during what was arguably the promotion's peak at All Out 2021, when Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole debuted on the heels of CM Punk's big return to pro wrestling. Here's hoping, anyway. Thank you for joining us for this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.